Hi, this is Sam, and we're not live right now. If you're expecting to hear the KTQA Daily Briefing for today, Becky and I have decided to take this weekend off. So we'll replay the one from Friday. Otherwise, we will see you on Monday. Thank you very much. The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is 3:04 on Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. On April 24th, 2020, and you're listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. I'm still Sam. I've been Sam for a month. Well, I've been Sam for longer than a month, but I've been the Sam who hosts this show for a month straight. And joining me on this adventure in community radio broadcasting is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited for it to be Friday.
You're excited for it to be Friday because Friday is meaningful to you.
It still does feel a little bit like March 11 billionth.
Yeah.
Yes, Friday has real meaning in the lives of even those of us who have been home this whole time, but continued with the contacts and obligations therein with a, I guess, 9-to-5 job as...
Yeah, you and your coworkers were having a bit of a social moment before we went on the air today, were you not?
Yes, so we were having a little Friday happy hour, virtual happy hour. It ended up being the pet parade, but those are the kinds of things that are important because when you work in a context where you're used to seeing 1,200 people a day and your quarantine bubbles are quite small, it's really nice to be able to check in with folks in a just non-obligatory way, right? You're not discussing things that have to get done. You're not discussing things that have to be solved so that a child doesn't go without connection or education. You just get to be yourself.
Yeah. And it gives me an opportunity to Zoom bomb you without, I guess, is that the phrase? I don't know.
Well, the Zoom bombing is...
Oh, wait, no, Zoom bombing is like the weird bad thing.
That's when folks just try random Zoom numbers and you don't have your security settings up.
I just do weird things in the background of your video conferences because it amuses me. I'll let you in on a little secret. I really hate video conferencing, and I always have. Personally, I don't know why we can't just do a text chat. It low bandwidth, fast as you please, get it done. And because I've been doing text chatting for my whole life, like literally my whole life.
For as long as you've been Sam.
Yeah, for as long as I've been Sam. So part of me is like, part of me has that, couldn't this have been done in email? Or like, couldn't we have done this on IRC or something like that? And for some reason, being in a video conference just makes me tired. The minute I fire up that webcam, I want to take a nap.
It is tiring. And there's actually been some
not from doing anything. Like, not like, oh, I've been in this video conference for like an hour and I'm tired of it. Like, I literally, two minutes in, I'm like, I just want to go to bed. It's weird. But like having a Minecraft creeper crawl on your shoulder while you're trying to talk to other teachers amuses me for some reason. Today it was a hand quilted parrot.
Yep. There has been some research done on that kind of thing of the sort of cognitive load involved in doing all your video conferencing when you're not used to it, because there's so much more that you have to pay attention to that you're not even realizing you're paying attention to in terms of social cues when those gaps in conversations are. And it seems to be taxing on the brains of those who are not used to, I guess, interacting in that kind of context.
Yeah, but dealing with latency and stuff like that is second nature to me, given what I do for a living.
All right. So, I have no explanation for you.
Yeah, like I understand why it could be tiring for people, but this is not new territory for me in the same way it is for a lot of folks. Either way, we have some news, don't we?
Well, we do. I don't have explanations for you, but coronavirus.wa.gov has explanations and updates and info for anything related to COVID-19. Dialing 311 will get you to the city of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800 525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language, and dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online.
Moving on to Washington State, private construction projects can now resume in the state as long as physical distancing is adhered to, workers wear personal protective equipment, and operations are overseen by an on-site COVID-19 supervisor. So if you're curious as to why construction is happening, as I think Becky was, there's your answer. I think I know where that one came from.
I was curious because there was construction that had resumed close by. It seemed to have resumed a little bit before this was granted as golden, but now it's okay, I guess.
All right. Individuals planning to file for unemployment benefits this weekend are asked only to do so if you're in financial dire straits to avoid overloading the online portal. 1 million claims are expected to be submitted this weekend. Those submitting applications on Tuesday will still be paid retroactive to their unemployment date. First-time filers are encouraged to prepare by reviewing esd.wa.gov/unemployment. The governor has also extended Washington's state of emergency through May 9th. The state of emergency is different from the stay-at-home orders, which at this time still only extend till May 4th. A state of emergency allows certain statutory waivers to be extended, all of which were approved by Washington's legislature. Full details can be found at coronavirus.wa.gov in the news section. And finally, the Washington State Emergency Management Division is advising people do not eat Tide Pods, do not drink bleach, do not inject disinfectant, and be careful when you're cleaning to avoid contamination. If you do need help with COVID-19 issues, please check resources at coronavirus.wa.gov. So there's that.
Even prior to, say, yesterday, the Washington State Emergency Management Division actually did say that there's been an increase in questions about accidental poisonings and things like that, since more people are utilizing cleaning agents in ways that maybe they hadn't
mixing
before.
Things that maybe they shouldn't auto-mix. I mm-hmm. suspected there might be an increase in that.
Yeah, so. About a 23% increase in calls to poison control since the same time, compared to the same period in time as last year of 2019.
Yeah.
So keep things in their original bottles. Don't mix bleach with any other kinds of cleaners. You can create some toxic gases that are damaging, but yeah. Be careful disinfecting things.
Between all this and the record unemployment, I mean, we've been very careful to stay positive and stay happy here on the daily briefing to sort of help people through this time, which is pretty rough. I mean, you can't walk that back or walk away from it. This is a unique time.
I think I heard in one of my meetings talking about how we're all in the same storm, but everyone has a different kind of boat. Mm-hmm. Where you might have a little raft with nothing, and someone else may have a complete army tanker and be completely protected from everything.
Right.
Other people have said we're all in the same kind of boat, but some people are in different storms. Some people are in a hurricane. Some people are getting sprinkled on.
Without making a comparison that judges people or their positions or their situations and having all this differential stuff happening, I think it's time to go back to basics and just say, hey, if you have the opportunity to be positive to somebody, to give them sort of some social positive feedback that lets them get through this time a little bit better. Being positive on the show has been my way to do that, given that I don't really talk to a lot of people from day to day, even in my professional life under normal circumstances. I would encourage you to do the same. And you know, it's something that Becky has taught me as she is a teacher, is that I try to model the behavior. And so that's what I've been doing. But when I read stuff like the stuff I'm reading today, I think it's also necessary to sometimes and step back and say, this is a unique situation. This is a bad situation. And we need to work together if we're going to get through this. But part of the way of working through this is by staying positive, I think. Well, not staying positive, being realistic and understanding what's going, but giving each other space, being positive towards each other and helping each other where we can.
I agree.
yeah, trying to be realistic about this without, I don't want it to be bubblegum and Care Bears and My Little Pony and all that. But not that there's anything wrong with those things, but I, you know, the good and the bad, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not very good at pep talks on the air. I don't know how this works.
I think you're doing great.
This is a very bad pep talk. Although I noticed, I noticed, Becky, that part of your way of dealing with this is our interviews lately have been dealing very heavily with gardening and parks and nature, plants and animals and zoos. And
oh, my goodness. I think it's because maybe I'm just limited to the four walls of our house and our immediate neighborhood. And I like dreaming and thinking and connecting about to all of these different aspects of our natural world. So that's maybe my bias that's come through in the last week or so. Well, in some of our discussions.
There's nothing wrong with this kind of bias. It is just something that I have noticed. So, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do is bring people parts of Tacoma and parts of the Pacific Northwest and the South Sound area that you may miss or that maybe you've never heard of at all, and just sort of like keep you connected to the region while you're hyper, hyper, hyper local in your house. And so that's part of what we're doing here with the KTQA Daily Briefing. And we've been doing it for a month straight, which has been a very interesting experiment for us since I've basically built this studio just out of stuff I had lying around. I mean, okay, a podcast studio and stuff I had lying around, but I also built the podcast studio out of stuff I had lying around, so there's that as well. If you go to our Instagram or on our Facebook, there's a picture of the studio. If you look closely, our microphone stands are lamps. The computer stuff I bought all, you know, at, like, secondhand stores and flea market stuff. Our furniture is repurposed and rebuilt stuff from Goodwill. Zip ties are used everywhere. And keeping this, making the studio work in a place in a way that it hasn't been used before has been an interesting exercise, and it's part of what's keeping me going. So we've been doing it for a month, and we're going to take a break. So we're going to take the, so we decided early on that we were going to continue the shows over the weekend as well, but the weekends tend to be fairly light news. And so since Friday, you know, today was fairly light news and we only had updates from the state, we're going to take the weekend, and anything that happens over the weekend, we'll talk about on Monday, unless something really important happens. And then maybe we'll break in and do a special episode. But I need to prepare for the next phase of this radio station, which I have been working on when I'm not doing this for the last couple of weeks. And I'm very close to completion on that, but I need to focus a little bit more for a couple days. We also have some side projects that will be germane to the Daily Briefing that we'll be announcing next week that we hope will more directly help some of the people in Tacoma than what we're doing right now. And well, Becky could use a day off, I think.
When I said I'm enjoying that it's Friday and looking forward to that Saturday, I wasn't kidding.
Yeah. So you will not hear from us. I might do an announcement just to let people know that nothing is wrong, but we're taking a couple days off in this time slot tomorrow and Sunday, and then we'll be back at it on Monday. And this Daily Briefing is an experiment. We're going to be revisiting things as we go. Like, we may decide just to take the weekends off from here on in through May 4th or however long this lasts. So everything's up. You know, this is an experiment. We're trying to make this work as best for us and for the community as possible. Again, your feedback is always helpful. And not only is your feedback helpful in us making these sorts of decisions, but hearing from you and letting us know that you like the interviews or what you want to hear or anything like that does help us. And some of you, yes, I know you'd rather hear Johnny Dollar, but this is important, and this is a unique time, and this station is here to serve the community, and we're trying to serve the community as best we can. To that end, you can, as usual, dial 311 for the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. You can dial 211 for the statewide community resources through the United Way. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our website is daily.ktqa.org. If you just go to ktqa.org, it'll take you to everything you need to know about the station right now. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821, and we are definitely looking forward to hearing from you. Now on to today's interview, which is about nature.
With me today is Sarah Lowe. She is the executive director of the Tacoma Tree Foundation, and I'm so excited on this Arbor Day to be interviewing you. Sarah, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for calling me up.
So what is the Tacoma Tree Foundation?
Well, the Tacoma Tree Foundation is a nonprofit, community-based, grassroots organization based in Tacoma, but really focusing on Tacoma, unincorporated Pierce County, and really, you know, sort of wherever the need arises, you know, within reason. But basically what we're focused on is educating, empowering, and supporting community members in neighborhood-based community greening. So that really means that we do a lot of planting trees, sharing other kinds of plants. Often we give out food-based woody plants, like berries and things like that.
So not just limited to what we think of maybe as trees, but even other kinds of plants.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really try not to be kind of stuck in one avenue. We try to respond to what community members are looking for. So if we go into a neighborhood, or actually it's usually not that we're going into a neighborhood, but if we're working in a neighborhood and somebody says, oh, you know, like I don't own my home, or I don't feel comfortable planting a tree at this point, but I really am interested in having some sort of flowering shrub, or I'm ready to get started, but I want to start small with a blueberry or a raspberry, then when we can, we try to provide that, because we understand that not everybody's in a position to take on a beautiful giant shade tree or, you know, a towering coniferous tree. So we just try to really meet people where they're at.
Now, I was reading that Tacoma Tree Foundation sees itself as having a connection to civic engagement. Can you elaborate a little bit on how trees are linked to civic engagement?
Yeah, absolutely. People don't always think about trees as a way of getting involved in government or in community, but we really see it that way. You know, when you plant a tree as a community event, so people are coming out and helping their neighbors or meeting at a park and planting with somebody from the park, they really have a chance to get to know their neighbors in a way that we don't always get to engage. You know, it's often just like, hi, goodbye, or people get to know each other because there's some sort of conflict. But around trees, especially tree planting, it takes a little while to plant a tree. So in that time that people are digging up dirt with shovels and, you know, helping carry a tree, people also have other conversations about, you know, what their favorite pie is and, you know, the first time they planted a tree, and or that it is their first time planting a tree. And that, I think, is a really great way of growing a relationship. And when people grow relationships around something like trees, where they can keep looking at that tree over time and they see, like, we did that together, that then when they see other problems happening or just other needs in their neighborhood, potholes or the sidewalk not being complete or something like that, that they can work together to find out what the resources are that make it easier to solve that problem.
I love that idea of trees and tree planting as that bridge towards other involvement and other care for our neighborhoods. But I imagine that a lot of that sharing and co-planting and coming together is really on hold right now.
Well, it is, you know, Arbor Day. But in the Pacific Northwest, we don't actually plant trees on Arbor Day. We celebrate trees on Arbor Day. And in the fall, in October, that's when we get to really do the planting. So our planting season in this area is, you know, roughly around like the middle of September until middle of March, give or take, depending on how much care you can give the tree once it's planted. But being on the safe side, the best time to plant is really, you know, that middle to early fall and kind of the late winter, early spring. So while it's disappointing that we can't get together in other ways that we would be doing right now, like tree walks and workshops and things like that, the planting plans are still going forward. It takes quite a bit of time to plan tree planting activities. It's just, you know, between figuring out where to put trees and who has resources to get the trees or bring the trees to a neighborhood or where should they go exactly. all that takes time. So we'll keep doing that this summer. We're always happy to have ideas about where to plant trees, and we work with partners to keep bringing resources to the table so that when fall comes and hopefully we're able to gather together around trees, that we'll still be able to plant trees. And if not, you know, if circumstances are such that we can't meet in big groups around tree plantings that are larger, then we also do things that involve bringing trees to a neighborhood more as a plant share, where the homeowners or renters, if they have permission, can just pick up a plant, take it home, and plant it in a good spot. They can ask questions. We can still do things like that. It just might change the way that we do it, and a little more hands-off than normally would be.
A lot of organizations and individuals and neighborhoods are kind of navigating that, well, things are changing a little bit. We've never done it this way, but I guess we're going to dive in and try. You've got some volunteer opportunities available. The Tree Stewards Training Program, is that still going on right now? Is that on hold until folks can be in person?
Well, the Tree Stewards Program is a training program where we teach community members how to be kind of better advocates for trees, and also to know best practices for planting trees and for caring for trees. So we teach basic tree ID, basic tree pruning, kind of go over things like right tree, right place, things like that, so that people feel more empowered. You know, a lot of people, in my experience, don't plant trees because they don't start planting trees because they just get overwhelmed about the decision-making process of is it okay to plant this tree here? Should I plant it over there? What kind of tree should I plant? What happens if I plant the wrong tree? And this way, we're able to help people not only make those decisions for themselves, but help their neighbors and friends and family make decisions about planting trees and how to access resources and how to navigate also the rules around tree planting, where you are allowed to plant trees. So the hope is, and this has started happening, that our tree stewards will become leaders in their neighborhoods and be able to help support other people in tree planting. And with that, we're always looking forward to having more people become tree stewards. And right now, we don't have a tree stewards training, though we hope to have one again in the fall. We really do like to do it in person for one reason in particular, which is that a really important part of the program is that people get to learn from each other also, and they get to know each other, and that builds some social capital, and that's probably 25% of what people end up getting out of it, even though it's not something we're talking about all the time. It just happens, and that's wonderful.
One thing I hear a lot is the term tree canopy. I'm used to hearing that when we're talking about like tropical rainforest canopy in the Amazon. But I was surprised to hear Tacoma Tree Foundation talking about the urban tree canopy, because it doesn't seem anything like a tropical rainforest. Can you kind of unpack that a little bit for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And the canopy is essentially the area underneath the tree. Like that, we can think about it as the area that's shaded by a tree. So we're standing under a tree, we're feeling that shade, we look up, we can almost see, we see it as a three-dimensional image, but you can also imagine it as a two-dimensional image, where it's just like the area where the light doesn't come through or water doesn't come through. Like if you can imagine the water drop falling from the sky onto the tree, it lands on a leaf, and it may not get to the ground. That leaf area, that's the canopy. Essentially, it is the area of the leaf part of the tree and what it covers below it. So if you think about it in terms of a city, it's a useful metric for us to think about where tree canopy is and where it isn't. It can be looked at from an aerial image or from something called LIDAR, which it gives us a two-dimensional image showing where there are trees and trees with leaves specifically, and where there are not trees. And when we are thinking about things like equity and wondering, are all the community members of Tacoma able to access all the benefits of trees? Tree canopy gives us a really good look at who's missing from this picture of benefiting from trees. And are there strategic ways that we can really address that? So it helps us think about things from a community level and look beyond that individual tree that we love on our street. And then it becomes a story about what our trees look like, what our nature looks like as a whole community instead of this singular tree, which we sometimes think of in the urban environments. Like a street tree is one tree on the street, but the canopy is how all those trees are connected.
Is that related to the project of tree mapping that I see on your website?
Well, sort of. Actually, you could think about it that way. Our tree mapping project is really, for us, a way of engaging people in kind of inventory and just noticing of where trees are. And specifically, we're trying to get to a point where we can talk about trees that are exceptional. And when we say exceptional, it's not the scientific definition or anything, but we're thinking about exceptional trees as trees that have value because they're large for the species, or they are culturally significant, or in some cases, really because they're a tree that people admire. You know, it doesn't have to be the biggest tree to be special. And we just kind of want to capture that part of it and to do it in a map form so we can also invite people to just participate in the sort of technology of trees, because that can be a lot of fun too. It's maybe not for everybody, but lots of individuals do enjoy this sort of quantitative measurement part of it.
I think I've got one of my favorite trees that I want to look and see if it's quantified or marked in any way. It's in the Hilltop neighborhood, right close to where I live and close to where KTQA broadcasts from. It's right near McCarver Elementary School. And most of the year, there's nothing remarkable about it, but I always notice it during the spring blooming season. And it's a little bit past right now. But the reason I noticed it was because it's clearly a graft tree. Some kind of drupe, maybe like a cherry or something like that, or two different kinds of cherries, or maybe cherry and a plum. Because you can see one whole branch flowers white, whereas the rest of the main tree flowers pink. And I just think that's so cool. And I think about how long ago would someone have sliced that little notch into the main trunk and placed that other little branch in there from a different tree to create that grafted branch. Is that the kind of stuff that you're talking about with a remarkable or exceptional tree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a lovely observation. I haven't noticed that tree, and I'm going to keep an eye out for it now. But absolutely. I mean, if it's a tree that is meaningful to people, and almost, I think that gets to the point where like almost every tree is meaningful to somebody. But really being able to capture the fact that a tree in that one spot is something that you notice every year, that's a special thing, I think, and worth recording in some way.
Do you have any favorite ones around Tacoma or Pierce County?
I was once in a meeting with colleagues, and the sort of conversation starter was, what's your favorite tree? And somebody said, isn't that like picking your favorite child? and I sort of feel that way, that I have so many favorites. It's very hard for me to pick one. But I think that when I notice trees from the perspective of which tree is my favorite, that I notice trees I've never seen before. Somebody pointed out a tree in Ruston. It's this beautiful weeping willow. And it looks like it's right out of a fairy tale. And I mean, it's like really, it's the stuff of childhood stories, you know, where you can like imagine sitting on this limb of the tree reading stories, or making up stories, or just letting the day go by. And it's sort of a dreamy tree to me. I really enjoy that one. It's on private property, so I can't climb it or anything, but it's a pretty neat tree. But I think there are so many exceptional trees in Tacoma. I think we're really lucky that we have this amazing diversity of trees. And so we can see monkey puzzle trees, which are not from here, and they're from Chile and Argentina. And yet they do pretty well here. And there's this kind of like sisterhood almost of places that this tree connects us to a place in another part of the world.
The monkey puzzle trees are definitely one of my favorite, because I have experienced living in South America and then learning about the really, really old history of the Araucarias, the monkey puzzle trees that existed in when our land masses were completely different. It's, you know, a tree from the time of Pangaea. And so going through a neighborhood walk through Hilltop and seeing that swirly, it looks like a pine tree from far away, you know, if you take off your eyeglasses, right? But you get up to it and there are these like swirly spikes on these arms. It just kind of, I don't know, looks like something out of a Dr. Seuss fairy tale or an Alice in Wonderland kind of thing. And then, like you said, thinking about connecting it to a different place in the world that's similar to us. And so this tree is thriving. I love that you mentioned monkey puzzle trees. You also mentioned climbing trees and sort of this childhood dreamy nature of trees. Is it cool to climb trees? Is it, you know, lots of times we say, don't climb the tree, you're going to break it. So what's that balance between having a tree that just looks awesome to climb versus preserving the integrity of a tree?
That's a good question. And I think I have been sort of a, like, we shouldn't climb trees kind of person, but I climbed trees in my grandparents' farm when I was a kid, little apple trees. They weren't even very big trees, but I wasn't a very big person because I was just a kid. But now that I have a child who's 6 years old who loves to be in trees, basically you shouldn't climb a tree unless the branch is quite large and well attached to the tree.
I imagine that as a
parent. That's not a very romantic answer.
No, but as the parent of a 6 year old and as, you know, talking to parents who may have their 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds home much more often than they're used to right now, probably a good useful time to that balance of, you know, yes, I want to go play outside and be immersed in nature, even in the middle of our city, but also stay safe.
Yes, absolutely. We wouldn't want to encourage anybody to climb a tree that's very tall or sit on a branch that's very thin. But I think also certain amount of, I dare say, common sense doesn't work so much with kids necessarily, but adults being able to sort of supervise that activity. It's really something special to be able to be in contact with a plant, to really, you know, touch it and experience it firsthand. And I think even as an adult, child or not, you know, like tapping into the inner childlike inner curiosity of like, what does the bark feel like or look like? How does the plant grow? Could this branch that's close to the ground support my weight? Maybe not. I'd rather protect the tree. The willow that I mentioned is quite large, and that branch that looks very dreamy to me is huge. has probably carried quite a number of people on its branch.
Sarah, how can listeners learn more about Tacoma Tree Foundation?
Well, we have activities going on throughout the fall, especially, and we will be posting about them on our website, which is www.tacomatreefoundation.org. And we, of course, have a Facebook page, which is at Tacoma Trees, and an Instagram page, which is at Tacoma Tree Foundation. People are always welcome to follow us there and ask questions. We're a young organization, and we really love to have feedback about, you know, what a nonprofit like Tacoma Tree Foundation can do to be more supportive of our community.
Sarah Lowe is the founder and executive director of the Tacoma Tree Foundation. Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. I'm going to go for a walk, and I'll see you Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.